Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number coming up for Second Amendment Tuesdays, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop and Hooks It right here on Bulldog Live on The Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooks It, in business for over 50 years serving the public. And, oh boy, what a great selection they have in stock. So go check it out right there on the DW Highway in Hooks at Riley'sGuns.com. 485-5000 is their phone number. Penny, welcome back. How are you today?
Other than, guess what?
What?
The mean universities are not being nice to the students.
We have troubles here.
We have troubles. And the bottom line is that somebody... And by somebody listening, are you listening, students at UNH? Are you listening at Plymouth State? Here's the scoop. They have just put forth and continued these horrible anti-firearm policies. You have to check your firearms in when you're in campus. You have to give them all sorts of ID, and they write down the serial number and make and model of your firearm and all sorts of things that I personally find offensive. Mm. Now, the question is... How does that play into New Hampshire has an RSA, it's 159.26, and it says Firearms and Ammunition Authority of the State. And here's what it basically says: to the extent consistent with federal law, the state of New Hampshire shall have authority and jurisdiction over the sale, purchase, ownership, use, possession, transportation, licensing, permitting, taxation, or other matter pertaining to firearms, firearm components, ammunition, or firearm supplies in the state. Except as otherwise specifically provided by statute, no ordinance or regulation of a political subdivision may regulate the sale, purchase, ownership, use, possession, transportation, licensing, permitting, taxation, or other matter pertaining to firearms, firearm components, ammunition, the whole laundry list.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me how the universities, which are basically arms of the state, if you will, how are they allowed to get around the law?
Well, good question, considering that the university system of New Hampshire is owned by the state, operated by the state, funded by the state. Yes.
It's huge. And so here's what I propose, and I'm actually quite serious about this. I think a class action lawsuit would be appropriate, as well as a declaratory judgment, to say that these universities do not have the authority to make state law. The only people that last time I checked could make state law is the general court, mm-hmm. Senate and House, signed by the governor. Unless they can get, you know, a piece of legislation through, they can't make administrative rules. And what they're doing is threatening these students with expulsion if they bring firearms on campus. Because according to UNH, University of New Hampshire Administrative Policies, OLPM sections, okay, it says J, firearms on campus. The University of New Hampshire, Durham, and Manchester campuses is committed to providing a safe and secure learning and working environment for students, faculty, staff, and visitors. So no one's explained to them that by taking the firearms away, they're letting these gals get raped at random and a bunch of other things.
Right, or have another Virginia Tech-style massacre.
That's exactly right. And it says the use or possession of all firearms, other dangerous weapons intended to inflict injury or explosives are prohibited on the Durham and Manchester core campuses of the University of New Hampshire. Law enforcement officers duly authorized to carry such instruments are exempted. So let me get this. If I'm a parent who happens to be a cop, I can carry my firearm on campus. If I'm a parent who happens to be John Q. Public, I can't carry my firearm on campus.
Mm.
I sense some disparate treatment, but what I need are university students who are willing to put their name on the line as plaintiffs to file a suit. Because the bottom line is, and this happens all the time, you know, in different things, people call me up and say, they're doing this XYZ place. And I go, yeah, we could file a suit. And I say, would you like to put your name on the line and be named as a plaintiff? Then they'd know that I complained. I go, yeah, that's right. They'd know you complained. They'd know you complained. And
because they obviously know who you are since they're trying to wrong you to begin with. So why would you be afraid to put your name in response?
That's exactly right. I guess the bottom line is,
sorry, I don't mean to hit people right in between the eyes with a hammer, but sometimes you got to do that.
You're exactly right, because here's the bottom line. You know, there was this song, Freedom Isn't Free. You have to pay a price. You have to sacrifice for your liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is that every day, all of us have an opportunity to do the right thing, to continue to work for freedom in this country, and to stop those who would just take away our rights, basically one little pen stroke at a time, from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is, why wouldn't you step up? These are the same people who complain, why is this, why is that? And my answer is, you have an opportunity. I can tell you, when I was a student, if someone would have given me this opportunity, I'd say, where do I sign my name? Where do I sign my name? Where do I have to show up? What do I have to do?
Well, that's what I've been doing for the last couple of years. People would start complaining about the state of politics and the like, and I just look at them and say, what are you doing about it? Yeah, that's it. What are you doing about it? What are you doing to make it better?
That's exactly right. There's problems and there's solutions. And the solutions are, at least in this UNH case, to continue the use and possession of all firearms, other dangerous weapons, okay, are maybe stored on campus under the control or direction of the chief of your university police department in accordance with the policy and procedure of the university police department. So you have this university police department that has made these forms that the students have to fill out, and they sign their own firearms in and out. I, for one, don't want to give up my firearms to Johnny Joe or goodness knows who.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more importantly, at least from my perspective, Keene State College has campus policies from A to Z, you know, and they have firearms and all that. And the bottom line is that firearms here are treated like this dirty thing that we keep out of the way, and we don't want the students to have them. After all, they're here for education. And if you can't live, I don't think education matters.
That's a good point.
here's the bottom line is that... And at the Keene State College, their policy is actually even more offensive. Handguns, including paint, pellet, BB, air guns, or authentic-looking replicas, are prohibited on property owned or operated by Keene State College. Violators will be subject to disciplinary action, and all incidents involving gun possession on campus will be reported to the Keene State College Department of Campus Safety and the Keene Police Department. Large hunting knives, bows and arrows, long rifles and shotguns are also prohibited.
We have another preemption statute regarding knives now, don't we?
We do. We do. And so last time I checked, none of these colleges were members of the general court. So since when can they make laws? And what they do, which is actually more offensive, is they use the power of the state to threaten to expel these students for having firearms on campus.
And to turn them over to the local police department.
Absolutely. And so the question is, I want to know,
does the Keene Police Department really want the possibility of a lawsuit, thank you to Keene State University?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And more importantly, what specifically, pray tell, are you going to charge them under? Tell me the RSA you're going to charge these kids under. I'd like to know. If anybody from any of these colleges have been charged pursuant to that, I wish they would call me at 230-9999 and tell me which specific RSA they've been charged under. Because I think they'd have a hard time coming up. You can't make up the rules as you go along.
Well, some do. But...
Well, yeah, that's right. That's what am I saying? Might makes right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Might makes right. And so the bottom line is that, you know, that I think the bottom line in this case is that these colleges, and I know when I was a college student, I didn't want to get expelled from school, mm-hmm. you know. So what happens is these poor kids, they just follow along, And I'll tell you what, I didn't live on campus when I was an undergraduate. But I have to tell you, the thought of living on campus without being able to defend myself is horrific. And a lot of colleges to this day discourage true rape and other assault reporting because they don't want their numbers to look bad.
You know what? There, that's been a long, contentious thing for many, many years. Absolutely. And how many, and I'll tell you what, Penny, when I was in college, which to me doesn't feel like that long ago, but it kind of was, every girl on campus carried around on their keychain, you know, a can of mace or pepper spray or something like that. And, you know, I wonder if these, you know, dangerous weapons would apply to that too.
Well, that's it. That's exactly right. But, I mean, have you ever been sprayed with mace?
No.
You should be, and let me tell you why. One of the things when I took LFI 3 that they insisted, we didn't have to do it, but they suggested that we do it. We were, I guess you'd call it tasered, not with the ones that stick in you, but with the other ones. And the reason they got us to get tasered and the reason they told us we should get maced is here's why. People have all these great thoughts. This mace is really good. This will stop them in their tracks. I'll mace them. Anybody who's ever been maced will tell you it irritates the crap out of you. Mm-hmm. It burns your eyes like crap. But if you're determined to keep on doing something, guess what? It just slows you down.
It doesn't immobilize you. No.
Oh,
it just
no.
It just gets in your eyes and irritates you. I mean, I've had to use it once, and it did stop the attacker, but let me tell you. he's I know what you're saying. He still could have kept going if he really wanted to.
That's exactly right. And sometimes attackers are drunked up or coked up or acided up or whatever what I call the drug du jour is, okay?
Yep.
Those people you can't reason with. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so the bottom line is, if you think relying on mace is smart, go pick the winning lotto numbers tomorrow, you know, and put your life savings on it. I mean, I just don't think it's smart and it doesn't work. It's the same way with those tasers. Other than the ones with the hooks that reach out and get you, we had real police tasers used on us before we shot LFI 3. They tasered our bare leg, and then we shot a course of fire. And you know what I said when they tasered me? I said, I'm waiting for you to taser me. They said, we just did shoot. Okay, now some of the guys writhed in agony. Maybe I've got more cellulite on my legs or something. But the bottom line is that it wasn't this horrible thing I'd made it out to believe. Now, those ones with prongs, those are the bad ones. I've never had those done to me, and I'm not sure I want them done.
Uh-huh.
But the bottom line is, unless you've actually bought an extra can of mace that you use and mace yourself, you don't know. You know, I just think you're silly by presuming those things.
And with the taser, too, of course, you're talking about you need to be in very close proximity to your attacker, and you better get both of those things into...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I do have a caller on the line at 1-866-823-1077 who wants to join this conversation. Attorney Penny Dean joining us here on Second Amendment Tuesdays on Bulldog Live, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. And Ryan from Henniker, how are you today?
Very good. How are you, Penny?
Fine. How are you?
Good. And Brian, thanks for your show.
No, you're welcome.
I had a comment about these colleges. Part of owning a handgun is you are responsible for its location. You are responsible for if somebody were to take that gun and do something terrible with it. That's your responsibility, and the way I understand it. And for the college to think they can take your gun away and you're going to leave it with Joe Blow, That one bothers me.
Of course it does, and I think that's absolutely a good point, which is why people that carry firearms carry them usually body carry somewhere on their body, or if you're a Galco girl with purses like I do, I have these keys, and I've tried the zippers. You can't break them. You know what I mean? I've handed guys my purse and said, hey, can you rip this zipper open, and they can't do it. You know, so you're exactly right. You have some sort of responsibility, and them giving you a little piece of paper and signing in, signing out, and telling them they're locking it up in the campus police department doesn't make me feel warm and cozy.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. But the whole point of having your handgun is to have it with you, so that you can defend yourself. And so, you know, there have been cases where a person had a firearm 20 foot away and they died. You know, because 20 foot away is as good as not having it.
Mm.
That's right.
You know,
Penny, I had one other quick question, and I'll let you all go.
Sure.
It's concerning transporting across state lines. We have a concealed carry permit here in New Hampshire that reciprocates with other states, but we can't get out of New England without going through Massachusetts and Connecticut and New York. And if I'm going to, well, say, Pennsylvania, I'm legal in to carry, how do I get there?
Well, you can get a non-resident Connecticut license.
Connecticut? What about Mass?
Mass, let me tell you a couple, three things.
This could take a while.
Massachusetts, the communist, I call it the communist wealth of Massachusetts.
In New York, they're communists too.
Yeah, the communist wealth of Massachusetts gives. You can obtain a I've had a non-resident Class A unrestricted carry license in Mass for better than 10 years, I believe. But they make it very, very difficult for you. First of all, you have to pay $100 a year, which I consider real money. Secondly, you have to go for a personal interview down in Massachusetts every year, which is silly. And you have to convince them that you are in need of a non-resident unrestricted license to carry, which is not easy. Okay? And I think probably the only reason they gave me my first one is the two people that wrote my letters for me, they were like, we don't want to mess with either of those men. Give her a license. You know? And I hate to say it because, you know, that's probably what happened. But the answer is it's very, very difficult, and you have to keep up with state laws and be very, very careful because, for example, I've had a Pennsylvania non-resident carry license for, I don't know, years and years, too. And you're right. When you go across the country, I actually plan my route based on where I'm legal to carry.
Can I dismantle the gun and put it in different parts of my car in order to pass through, say, New York?
Well, what you have to do and what allows you to do this is what's called the McClure-Volkmer Firearm Owners Protection Act, which, by the way, that bill is a misnomer because that bill outlawed any further. It came into effect May 19th, 1986, and it outlawed machine guns. So for firearm owners' protection, I don't think there was a whole lot of protection there. But the gist of it, this misnomered bill gave us the right, the true statutory right, if you will, to what I call interstate transport. And what the law says is that you can transport your firearms and ammunition from anywhere, any place you can lawfully possess it, to any destination where you can lawfully possess it, if you do certain things. It has to be inaccessible to the occupant and all passengers of the vehicle. And initially, there was tons of people like me said, wait a minute, what about all the minivans people use? There's no true way that a firearm and ammunition, even in the very back, is truly inaccessible to the occupants and all passengers of the vehicle. And Congress later said, yeah, you're basically right, but as long as you have it in a locked case in the very bottom of the pile of crap, we're not going to bust you for it. And the bottom line is that I tell people, I actually carry a hard-sided Pelican case, which I got from Riley's, that you can get, you know, there, you can get it anywhere. But a hard-sided Pelican case I carry with me in my truck at all times. And it's got padlocks with it. And I always use combination padlocks so I don't lose the key, because I lose the key all the darn time. And what I do is, let's say that I'm in somewhere in New Hampshire and I decide to go to Rhode Island or somewhere where I don't have a license to carry. All I do is pull over before I hit the state line, put my firearm in it. Now, the important thing when you do is your firearm has to be unloaded in chamber and magazine. So when you transport things cross-country like you're talking about, you can't just drop the mag and clear the chamber. You have to unload the magazine as well. Because the law is very clear that in some states a loaded magazine is equal to a loaded firearm, and you will get the same penalty for that.
Hmm. I have to wrap this up in about 30 seconds, Penny.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
We're running away with time. So what I suggest, to save yourself a lot of grief, is put ammo and firearm in separate containers, hard-sided, lockable. Now, that's a little over what the law actually says, but it saves you getting arrested.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's the important part, not getting arrested, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Especially going through the evil states, right.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, with that, Ryan, I got to go. Thank you very much.
Take care, Penny.
Thank you.
Brian,
you too.
We'll see you.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right, Penny, how do people get in touch with you once again?
230-9999.
Thank you very much. Good chatting with you.
You too.